Welcome back, and we're here with our final presentation from a citizen board this evening. This is the first of a set of three series that we'll be doing with meeting with the citizen boards. And for our final presentation, we are with the Environmental Advisory Council, and I'll turn the floor over to you. Please introduce yourselves, and then your presentation will follow. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having us come to this joint meeting so we can kind of talk about what we've done for the past year and some of our plans and recommendations for the year to follow and probably longer, realistically. I'm Zach Davis. I'm the chair of the EAC.
Jackie Camp.
Teresa Landewing.
Mark Baldra.
All right. Now we can get started. So the Upper Marion EAC mission is that the Upper Marion Township Environmental Advisory Council is dedicated to exploring and promoting ways to create a more environmentally protective and sustainable community while providing support and advice to the township's board of supervisors, commissions, and other personnel. And the EAC also likes to be driven by Pennsylvania Constitution Article 1, Section 27, the Natural Resources and Public Estate Clause, which says the people have a right to clean air, pure water, and to the preservation of the natural, scenic, historic, and aesthetic values of the environment. Pennsylvania's public natural resources are the common property of all the people, including generations yet to come. As trustee of these resources, the Commonwealth shall conserve and maintain them for the benefit of all people. And Pennsylvania is actually only one of three states in the entire nation that have a environmental rights clause, the other two being Montana and New York. So it's always a fun little nugget to share. So our five main goals are developing policy recommendations, promoting natural resource conservation within the township, increasing education and awareness through community activities, social media, and TV specials, working with the community and regional and local environmental orgs, and also evaluating available grant funding opportunities to facilitate implementation of environmentally beneficial projects. So I will let Teresa go into some of the recent accomplishments.
All right, so last year we started the Upper Marion Healthy Yards Program, which the goal is to recognize residents who are creating habitat and healthy yards in our township. And we have 15 members and growing. We always have a table at the Earth Day Fair and the Fall Festival to try to promote these programs. And in January of 2026, we became a bird town. So we're just getting started with that. But that is, again, to promote healthy habitat for birds and bees and pollinators. And so we'll be trying to create programs that will work with the township, work with the school district, work with residents for education and activities that promote and support our bird town status. And again, we do community outreach and education for Earth Day and Fall Fest, and we have hosted community events, and we're maintaining the rain garden and do weeding events, tree care events with Shade Tree Commission. And I think we have, maybe the next slide is about the BCA.
Plant swap too.
Oh, and the plant swap, I'm sorry, is yes, scheduled for May 2nd, and that will be at Norview Farms. And that is an opportunity for plant lovers, both indoor and outdoor gardeners, to share what is they have extra of, or for people who are new to it and just want to learn. And I know I have a lot of things popping up in my yard, so I just like to give them away. So if you don't have plants, you can come anyway, but everyone can bring plants to share. And so I think that's a program I'd like to expand to seeds maybe in the winter and really kind of just promote the education of growing and maintaining our yards and as habitat. And if we all do it together, it just, you know, we can share all those resources. We are currently, we have a BCA grant in to support native plant plantings at here at the township building. That is with an Eagle Scout project. So we'll hear about that in May. And then we have an additional grant application with the Shade Tree Commission to put native gardens and pollinator gardens in support of Bee City program at the Arboretum. So we'll hear about those, and bee planting would be in the fall.
And here's just some images from some of our events, community outreach at the farmer's market, one of the rain garden plantings that we had over the past couple of years, some trees that were planted along the trail, and then one of our rain garden maintenance events that we hosted last November. Yeah, November. So one of the things that we are looking to potentially work with the township on, and we've already started conversations with Jarrett as well on this, is looking for ways to kind of future-proof our municipal code to make it more sustainable, to kind of bake in requirements prior to development and massive, you know, major reconstructions. So some of the topics that we have discussed, and everything has precedent in various regions, whether it's across the country or locally in, you know, the Southeast PA region, New Jersey, some of our neighbors. The first one touches on new construction and reconstruction. And this is one that we can require all new properties to be built to be EV ready, solar ready, and electrification ready. So this means they have all the appropriate wiring in place beforehand. It doesn't necessarily mean they have like an EV charger installed, but they have the wiring and conduit run to a terminus where they can attach it later. And there are many toolkits, including from the state of Colorado and the Department of Energy, that can assist with this. Another topic we have is kind of along the same lines, building electrification and emission standards for electricity generators. So this would kind of restrict new construction and major reconstruction to electric only. It would also develop emission standards or create stricter standards for on-site energy generation. And this is something that has happened in our region. Morris Township, New Jersey has implemented something recently. New York State has a state law that has implemented something along these lines as well.
Zach, could you get it? I don't know if I'm understanding that one completely. Could you just explain that one a little bit so I know what that looks like?
It effectively would inhibit the installation of fossil fuel burning infrastructure within buildings due to their high emissions. We would set a cap at about, I think it's like 25 kilograms per metric ton or something of emissions. This has, again, precedent in Morris Township, New Jersey, and New York state law for statewide. And New York City implemented it a while ago. They've had it in place for a while. And it's a very phased approach. Like in the case of New York City, they started with building 7 stories or lower, and then they phase up like 5 years later to be building 7 stories and higher. Any other questions about that?
I didn't understand what that was referring to exactly. So, yeah.
And this would potentially have an impact on any like mini power plants that were to be installed to offset energy demands from high energy intensive buildings that could potentially be built in the township. Data centers.
Exactly. I understand what you're saying, and I'm in favor of this, okay? But I have to ask the question, are there any references that come from commonwealths as opposed to state? Because right now in Pennsylvania, if the state takes control of those particular types of facilities, they are mandating the generators, and they're not mandating that they come from other non-fossil fuel generating.
Exactly. So that is part of the question that we talked about. If an ordinance were to be passed locally, would we be grandfathered into that ordinance without the state superseding it? Because that is similar to what happened with Westchester, Narberth, with plastic bag bans. Obviously, it's very different. Fossil fuel industry, well, you know, plastic bags are fossil fuel industry, but.
Can you send me a copy of that slide?
Yes, yeah.
Because next week we're gonna be at a statewide conference, and I can approach a couple of the engineering firms and the state about how that might work.
Okay, yeah, okay? Absolutely. Parking reform, this is something we've talked about off and on for the past couple of years, Jarrett and the EAC, as well as some of the Planning Commission. So removal of parking mandates to reduce required parking of new and redevelopment. So this would, it seems kind of counterintuitive. You would effectively get rid of the parking minimums, but actually banks and lenders require more or would require less parking than kind of arbitrary limits set by municipalities across the country. There's no real consistency amongst parking requirements. So it's one of those things that a lot of communities are moving towards.
like hundreds, and I just picked some interesting examples. Burlington, Vermont has done this parking reform, but so has Birmingham, Alabama. So it's not like a thing that it's like only a regional approach. It is happening across the country. Lawn equipment, electrification, develop a approach to phase out the use of gas-powered leaf blowers. This is something that just happened in Lower Merion a few months ago. It was passed. It's a 3 or 4 year implementation plan. So it is long-term. It's not like a next week you gotta buy gas or buy electric leaf blowers. It is long-term. And there are several municipalities and cities in New Jersey that have implemented similar bans. And there are also, municipalities and cities across the country that have done so. A naturalized landscape ordinance. This would implement a code to allow the naturalization of residential landscapes. We Conserve PA has a model ordinance for this, and this effectively allows residents to maybe cut back on their grass and allow some more native plant growth. And it, because the way a lot of municipal codes are written, and I think ours included, if anything is like over 6 inches, it's subject to be, someone could call code on you. But this allows for more freedom. It still has strict guidance on like what is naturalized versus what is just left unkempt, you know? So there are regulations around that. So, you know, if someone tries to argue that, oh, this is naturalized, and they're just not cutting their grass or letting the weeds go, you know, there are ways to regulate that.
I can think of two locations on this side of town where it's a one house that I know where it's really well done. And it looks like it's a planned natural thing, not too far from, walkable from my house. The other one is closer to the middle school. And we've gotten complaints about that location because it does look unkempt and it's naturalized, but it's not naturalized in any kind of a
organized,
planned, organized fashion. So maybe that could be something where we could have some kind of a public, you know, PSA on how to do it right.
Yeah.
So it looks good and doesn't just look like you forgot to mow.
Yeah, exactly. And there are communities that have implemented similar ordinances. I couldn't find any on an easy search. I'm going to reach out to some more people to try to get, you know, enacted ordinances, not just the model ordinance, and I can get back to you guys with that too.
Becky, you may want to take a look at Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
That they have that for their landscaping. And it's actually lovely.
Yeah, exactly. When it's done well and with intent and planning, it looks really, really good when it fully grows in. It just, some people try to take advantage of it so they don't have to maybe mow their lawn as frequently as they need to.
And you know which ones they are. They're the ones that on the street going up to the curb, there's weeds growing along the street line. And
exactly.
Yes, that it's just,
unkempt.
Unkempt.
Yeah.
Not.
And the last thing I have here is healthy tree production, or protection, not production. Oh, that probably is good too. It's not bad. And this would require permits for removing trees and requiring the replacement of healthy trees that have to be taken down for one reason or another. I think we've all seen this throughout our township a decent amount. People just taking down healthy trees for no real reason without replacement and kind of creating like urban heat island effects. And just, you know, with all of our flooding and sinkhole issues, this is definitely something that can benefit long term. And to be honest, I added this after my neighbors took down a tree for no reason the other day. So this was a fresh addition to the presentation.
It was raw.
I know. It was fresh in my mind. I was like, I got to add this. Actually, Beth made me add this, so that's why I did it. So just some additional plans and recommendations. I think hiring a full-time sustainability manager, similar to some of our neighboring communities, would be highly beneficial. Contributing, again, these are things we're doing, contributing to the comprehensive plan to ensure sustainability and community resilience, contributing to Hoyser 2 development, which luckily Mark is on Parks and Rec, has been contributing to, encourage alternative modes of transportation and provide advice and guidance to make our infrastructure more people-friendly rather than car-friendly. So this could be anything from encouraging, I think I touched on it at the bottom, recommending increased involvement in Schuylkill River passenger rail. I don't really know what the status of that project is. I don't know if a lot of people do, but, you know, just continuing to push for that, advocating for, you know, public transit through SEPTA, but also developing more bike lanes. Obviously, Mark, Greg, that's a passion project for both of you, and I would like to see more of that to a township any way we can help. I think there are some areas in the township that are maybe difficult to connect to and haven't been connected to, especially like Tina, our side of the neighborhood is a little bit tricky to get to any of these like walking trails or biking trails. And then developing a roadmap to all electric building infrastructure throughout the township. I know there's a lot of municipalities moving towards this. Upper Dublin has recently opened their new township building, which is actually built to net zero standards. So they have no energy requirements at all. Springfield Township in Monco is planning a new township building that will be built to net zero. And they've also installed or will be installing a lot of solar throughout their township over the next several months and up to a year. Continue working with the Board of Supervisors, Citizen Boards, and staff to advance the township's commitment to 100% renewable energy. Continue community education and outreach about renewable energy, single-use plastics, native plants, stormwater management, forever chemicals, microplastics, and more. Partnering with communities across Montgomery County and Southeast PA to advance common initiatives. Continuing to look into the dangers of forever chemicals associated with artificial turf, and possibly implementing a township policy not to use artificial turf in buildings, especially with the new Hoyser 2 development coming up. It could be a good step to take. Not necessarily banning it throughout the township, but just, you know, through township properties. And then township fleet electrification. This is something that several of our neighboring communities are moving forward with, and we have done, we have several, you know, EVs for our code fleet, but moving towards additional vehicles in our fleet where feasible. So expanding the location of EV chargers within the township, ideal locations would maybe be Hoyser, the community center, Norby Farms, and more. Reevaluating the commercial EVCS ordinance to align with other existing ordinances. Considering streamlining permitting fees for sustainable residential improvements. We have done this for solar installations throughout the township where it's a tiered approach that caps out at like $20,000 plus. But doing the same for EV charger installation at home could remove a barrier and allow for safe installation of EV chargers at residences. Developing a transition plan for our township fleet to allow for the phase out of gas-only vehicles. So replacing gas vehicles with EVs, whether they're plug-in hybrids or full electric vehicles. The lifetime cost of EVs and hybrids justifies a slightly higher upfront cost. It also makes us more financially resilient given all of that has happened over the past several months with the war. And allows us to have a steady financial outlook on our fuel consumption. And just one last thing, that the current market for EVs has drastically changed over the past, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10 years. So there's always emerging technologies. There's more cost effective, both in money and carbon cost cars that are coming out every day. There's pursuit rated EVs. There's pursuit rated hybrids. So there are many, many EVs to meet all of our township fleet needs. Well, you know, not like the big tow trucks or, you know, salt trucks, but, you know, one day. Just to look at our current members, so myself, Teresa, Vicky Midas, who couldn't be here, Mark, Louise, who couldn't be here, Kavindra Shakya, they both couldn't be here, Jacqueline, and then we have a vacancy for our student member. And then we just like to give a special thanks to Tiffany Bellamy, our staff liaison, Rose Grasso, our former staff liaison, Carol Kenny, our board liaison, Jerry Vitimo, Barley Van Cleef, and Diane Riley for partnering with us for a lot of initiatives over the past several years, long-term partnerships. So any questions, recommendations, feedbacks, anything? And we didn't even get into data centers, really, because I figured you guys have heard a lot about that.
Inundated lately. Do you want to lead off?
Two things I'd like to mention. The very first Article 1, Paragraph 27, mm-hmm. where in the Pennsylvania Constitution.
Yeah.
Thank you. It says that we have a right to clean air and water. That just covers pretty much everything that the EAC is interested in doing and has discussed, and it includes data centers. Mm-hmm. So I'm just putting that idea out there because it's, you know, the hot topic du jour. One thing that I just jotted down when you had mentioned parking and looking at parking and number of spaces and the requirements and that they should differ depending on what the use of a building is. when I just happened to go down South Gulf Road the other day, and I looked at this vast, huge, empty parking lot by the casino, and just thought, that's just sheer, you know, solid. I would just wonder, is that ever filled? I mean, no. If they have a constitution.
Yes, go up there tonight.
When?
Go up there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, it's packed.
You're talking
is
about
it?
The casino parking lot?
Casino parking lot,
without question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the part that goes up
yes,
to
oh, absolutely.
The building.
Absolutely.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's okay. Not on a Monday night, but it's on a Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I was passing it as daytime for
so
one thing.
So I think it was the New York Times, okay. And I wanted to add this, but this just happened. I read it in the New York Times yesterday or today. France just passed a law. If you have 80 spaces or more in your parking lot, they have to be covered with solar panels. Mm-hmm. Because now you're getting rid of the urban heat sink, you're generating power for the community and the township, and your cars can charge off of those panels, and you keep your cars cooler.
So there's the panels are
above
yeah.
The cabin. Like at Quicks, what's the name of the Click?
Click.
Well, they have them at
the
stadium.
Click.
They have them at Lincoln
well,
Financial.
Well,
they
have them at Upper Marion at Click off of Curtin.
Yeah. But
yeah.
France
I've been encouraging
required. You
to
know,
put them on
that
parking lot for years.
You know, but we have to start somewhere, you know,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
Look at all, again, the casino does get full.
Okay.
But I know for sure, I've been in the township 35 years, we have so many parking lots now that are underutilized, and it's just the urban heat sink. They're just collecting all this heat, making our summers hotter.
Mm.
It doesn't cool off at night. That's one of the few things I don't appreciate about the township is can't open the windows at night in the summer, but people just outside of our township, they can because they don't have the urban heat sink we do.
We need more trees.
We're working on that. So again, sorry for the sidebar, but I think it's relevant.
Well,
since,
it's
you know,
part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's not a sidebar.
Mark, you said over 80. Is that?
I think it was the 80.
It's
80. Yeah, it's
80.
We both read the same article.
Yeah, any parking lot over 80 spots requires solar canopy coverage.
And you know, if we have to expand any parking, especially on township property, we should definitely consider it because, you know, somebody has to do the analysis and run the numbers, but I can't see how you can't long term, especially with the price of electricity. Make it work.
It's probably worth going to France to take a look at it, you know?
Yeah.
I can translate for anyone.
Yeah.
Back before Greg and I were voted into office, there was a discussion about doing the back parking lot.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
I don't remember why that was trashed.
I think we lost a grant.
I remember
was
one
grant?
Reason.
I think there was a grant.
I remember one of the supervisors, I won't name names, I remember one of the supervisors saying that they're not going to look good. They'll get rusty, and they won't look good if you look out the window at them. And my thought at that point was, who's going to look at the tops of the solar panels? People are going to be underneath them. So that was one reason.
Their life cycles.
But no, we didn't go forward with that.
The life cycle is 25 to 35 years now on most of the...
Yeah.
Panels that are available today.
And I guess if the township is interested in moving with solar, the incentives are still available for projects completed by the end of 2027. So there is a window.
Yeah,
there is a window where we could still pursue solar with
businesses?
The 30%.
Would that include
I don't
the
know.
Township?
No. Township would get the benefit through a instant refund effectively, and you get 30% off the price.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if businesses can still do it.
No, but so that was the thing. It dropped off for...
Residential. So, oh yeah, you're right. It is commercial and
municipal.
Okay.
Still
government can still do it. Yeah,
can do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be brief since it's late, but great presentation. I appreciate everything that the current EAC and previous EACs have done in the past, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the future. And never ever in Upper Marion joke about supervisors taking trips overseas because it actually did happen.
And it resulted in ethics violations.
And you can actually find
nobody
opinion
here.
Online. Nobody
yes.
here,
no,
way
no.
before
no.
any of our time.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
I'm afraid to tell
online.
You guys about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will follow up on that next week.
Yeah.
I'll follow up with legal counsel from the Supervisors Association, and I'll follow up with a couple of engineering firms that are that'll be there, and see what their take on it is.
Yeah.
But I will do that. And the other thing I would like to throw in is some kind of educational program on lithium ion battery disposal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, whatever we can do, I can explain to you offline the number of fires we've had now involving them.
Especially if they're throwing them in the trash truck and they're condensing them.
Meanwhile, doesn't Home Depot and Lowe's take them?
Well, Home Depot did. I don't know if they still do or not.
I dropped the lithium ion batteries off about a month or two ago. So I know Home Depot at least recently did.
Okay, so we just need a communication.
I agree, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think some municipalities around here have partnered with organizations to do lithium battery disposal.
Yes.
I can try to find out who those were and talk to them.
Okay.
You know what might be a good idea? It's a lot of work, and I know you have a lot on your plate, but maybe like a once a year publication at the start of the year, where you can take your electronic recycling, where you can take your hazardous household waste recycling,
yeah,
where you can take your lithium batteries, what to do with the regular batteries, where you can take your syringes, because they get repeatedly asked all the time, and I publish this stuff all the time, and you know, people might know about.
So I have one for your publication, Greg. It's Paymore down in Fraser. They take just about all electronics. Like if the computer doesn't have to work, and they'll take it, but if it actually works and has value, you might get $20 or $30 for it. But they take it all. My son discovered them because he was working down there about 2 years ago. So I've been taking all my stuff down there because they'll dispose of it.
No, I think that's a good idea. Yeah, because a lot of people do reach out to me through channels too and asking about the same stuff. So,
have we ever put that in the newsletter, do you know, about the batteries?
I'm not sure.
We could put something in our township newsletter.
Yeah.
And put it in the sewer bill. Or as an addition, something like that. Or, mail it to people.
Township Wise has had an article about the lithium ion battery, the dangers and what to do about it.
But not the specifics about how to throw them out,
how to dispose of them.
It's more to do with how to treat them properly and make sure they're in good condition, but not how to dispose of them.
Yeah.
We've had them everything from people throwing them in the trash and then they catch fire.
Yeah.
And we had one guy who was great about it. He actually took it outside as it started to expand. He carried it out in a container and threw it into his kid's sandbox.
He was ready.
Yep.
Interesting.
All right, well, thank you for your presentation. A lot of good information, a lot of good work that you've been doing. Carry on your mission that is important for our township and for sustainability and for the environment. And it's all good work that you're doing. And
we're going to continue to be nudges.
Right? Yep. I have no doubt.
You can count on that, don't worry.
Yeah. Isn't that part of our definition?
Yeah.
Article 1.
Yeah.
So this will complete the last session that we have with the Citizen Board Advisory Group for this evening, and we'll be continuing on with two more sessions in the future. And thank you everyone who's been watching, and I hope you garnered some good information from all the presentations we had this evening. So thank you everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.